You just have a word of prayer as we come to God's word. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the word that has stood the test of time, but the word, Lord, that is relevant for us today. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you will just come and that you will break the word so that we can understand, to take it in and to act upon it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, first let me say it's good to be with you tonight. I've just been to Martintop once before, and that was at the induction of your pastor, Alan Marsden. Alan grew up in our church at Lancaster, and he didn't have a good beginning, but he is indeed a trophy of grace. And what a man. And we pray for Alan, and we trust that God will continue to bless him and use him here. Martintop, as well as the wider ministry that Alan also enjoys. And so it's good to be with you this morning to share the word. And if you want a title or a subject for this message, it is the glory of God. And I would ask a question as we begin, and maybe need to keep this in our minds. Are we living our lives for the glory of God? You might be saying, well, what do you mean by the glory of God? That's something that Moses asked. It's what we've read this morning. Moses said to God, "Now show me your glory." And God replied. In the next verse, he said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." I'm sure you're fairly familiar with this great man of God, Moses. Probably the first time he heard God's voice was as a shepherd lad. There we read in Exodus chapter 3. As he looked after the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, he looked across and there was a bush that was on fire. And it didn't burn out. And so obviously, any man would be inquisitive, wouldn't they? And so Moses went across and God spoke to Moses through the bush. What did he say? "Take off your shoes, for the ground on which you're standing is holy." Yes. And then as we come into here a bit further on in Exodus, God spoke with Moses as he led the task of these 2 million or so people out of Egypt to Canaan. What a mission. He needed to hear God's voice. And we read of the pillar of cloud that went before them. And we have read there that Moses, when he went into his tent, the pillar of cloud came down and he communed with his father. But one commentator says that a full discovery of the glory of God would overwhelm the faculties of mortal man in his present state. Meaning that we would be overwhelmed. We couldn't cope in these mortal bodies to see the glory of God. I believe that God did give Moses a guarded glimpse of his glory. There we read, in verse 20 that you cannot see my face and live. But as we read on, the Lord said to Moses, "There is a place where you may stand on a rock. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And when my glory passes by, I'll put a hand over you." Because he said, "You cannot see my face. You cannot see my face and live." Now maybe just to clarify a little, because we have read in verse 11 that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And then here we read that he could not see his face. I'm sure you're inquisitive as well as I am as we read scripture. It doesn't contradict. I can say this morning categorically there are no contradictions in scripture So what does it mean when the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend? Well, what it really means is that it is indeed the unique and personal relationship that Moses had with God there in verse 11 when it says that he spoke to him face to face. A unique relationship, a personal relationship. Right, as we move on then, the answer. In verse 19 to Moses' question was, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. Now, I'm quite sure that God's glory to us is revealed in his characteristics. That of his authority, that of his power, of his wisdom, and the immeasurable magnitude of his being reflects the glory of God, on whom he will have mercy and he will have compassion. God reveals to us all that we are able to take in these mortal bodies. In Psalm 84 and verse 11 we read that no good thing will I withhold from those whose walk is blameless. From those who seek to walk aright, he will hold no good thing from each one of us as we seek to live for him. He holds nothing back that will enable us to live and to serve him for his glory. Now, you're familiar, I'm sure, with the first time that Moses was given these Ten Commandments there on Mount Sinai. As he came down the mountain, what did he find? He found that the Israelites had turned to worship foreign gods. They'd melted the gold to make a golden calf. And probably Moses was so disgusted that he dropped the commands and they broke. Well, we find here, you know, that they were given to Moses a second time. And on the stone tablets, as he came down the mountain this second time, Moses wasn't aware of it, but the Bible says that the skin of his face shone. His skin glowed, for he'd been in the presence of God. He'd met with his God. And the question that I would ask myself as I ask you this morning is, do we as Bible-believing Christians reflect the glory of God? Do our faces shine? The people there recognized there was a difference because Moses had met with God. And I wonder this morning, do folks with whom we associate, do they know there's a difference? Do our faces reflect the glory of God? If not, why not? I would suggest, you know, one of the reasons maybe is that we don't spend the time with him as we ought. We find here, you know, as the children of Israel moved on, that Moses had a little tent outside the camp. Yeah, for those that were inquiring about the Lord, but I'm sure it was there for Moses to get alone with God. Some years ago now, since a survey was taken in this country of the amount of time that Christians spent each day with the Lord, the result was that the vast majority did not even have a quiet time each day with the Saviour. Little wonder then that our faces don't shine for him. God is preparing for his people, we, a land of milk and honey. He's preparing a home in glory, and we say we haven't got time to spend each day with him. I would say this morning that we can afford not to spend time with him. God is no man's debtor. And I can tell you, the more you give to him, the more he gives to you. It's not a waste of time, half an hour in the morning, quarter of an hour in the morning with the Lord. It's not, oh, I haven't got time this morning. You can't afford not to have time, because God will make up far more than the time as we go through the day. He gives far more than we ever lose. And I wonder this morning, you know, are we really fully committed wholeheartedly to the Saviour that's preparing a home in glory for eternity? I'm reminded there of the 12 spies that Moses sent out to spy out the land of Canaan. 10 of them came back and they said, oh, no way! We can't go there. Look at the giants in the land. 10 out of the 12 failed the test. Just 2, Moses and Caleb, said, we can do it because God is with us. It said of Caleb that he was a man of a different spirit. Why? Because he lived wholeheartedly for the Lord. Now, if ever there was a need for Christians to live wholeheartedly and shine for the Lord, it must be in this day in which we live. Can I ask you, therefore, are we living for the glory of God? Secondly, one of the challenges that God has brought to me just over recent weeks is the journey of the Ark of the Covenant. That item that was a reminder to the children of Israel as they travelled to Canaan of God's presence with them. It was, as we know, an item of furniture. It measured 3 feet 9 inches in length. It was 2 feet 3 inches in depth. And it was 2 feet 3 inches wide. And of course, inside were the tablets of the law that God had given to Moses. Also, we read that there was a jar of manna, God's provision for them there in the wilderness, where they complained that they'd nothing to eat. But also was Aaron's rod. Speaking of God's authority, remember the time, you know, when Aaron had to put out his rod and the dust turned into gnats. And it wasn't good. The authority of God. It was to be carried by the Levites. There were 4 gold rings that were mounted on the 4 corners of the ark, through which 2 poles were inserted for the purpose of transportation as the ark journeyed with the children of Israel. Now, it was a long journey, wasn't it? But there's just one small part this morning that I feel that God would have us consider together. We know there were many battles. There were many difficulties. A time when the Israelites fought against the Philistines. And they lost the battle. The Philistines won, and in so doing, they captured the ark. And it was with them, the Bible tells us, in the book of Samuel, for 7 months. And my, during that time, there was great trouble that came upon the people. They had tumours, they had boils, physically, they had many problems. We read how the ark was moved into the 3 main cities. Tremendous chaos in those cities because of the presence of the ark. So they decided, after 7 months, and they put it on a new cart. And it was drawn by 2 newly calved cows. That's what the Bible tells us. And it was taken to Kirjath Jearim. Now, I might not have pronounced that wrong, but you can check that out when you get home. It went to the home of Abinadab, where it remained for 20 years. After which time, Abimelech's 2 sons, Uzziah and Hai, brought it back to Israel, again on a cart. By this time, David was king of Israel. And as they saw the Ark of the Covenant coming, they had a big celebration. They had a major party. The atmosphere was joyful and exciting, the Bible tells us. When one of these cows, this was another lot of cows, of course, because this was 20 years on, slipped. And Uzziah, one of Abinadab's sons, put out his hand to steady the ark. And he was immediately struck dead. The Bible says the Lord's anger burned against Uzziah. Because all of this was in total disobedience to the specific commands of God. The ark was a symbol of God's presence. And yet now it seems to the children of Israel, it was almost a lucky charm. I don't know how many of you are into football or you've been watching the European games. I watched one last night and I've noticed before, particularly when these players change and the one goes out under the field, this is what he does. What does that mean, really? Is that a lucky charm? I reckon it's very close to it, and very close to the situation that the Israelites were in at this time. Their waywardness, because of their worship of idols, you know, they brought great problems on themselves and upon others. And I feel as we look into God's word, yes, as we look at this chapter, and there are many chapters, aren't there? We need to learn a lesson in this day in which we live and return to the word and an understanding of God's will. You know, there's no amount of partying, there's no amount of entertainment that can compensate for our disobedience to God. We must conduct our lives, our work, our business, in God's prescribed way. This all happened because they turned their back upon God. It was on a cart. When God had specifically told Moses earlier on that it must be carried by the Levites. There is a verse, I think, where it says it's got to be carried on the shoulders. But certainly, it had got to be carried in God's way. But you know, they've turned their backs and they've done their own thing and they've gone their own way. And what a mess they were in. You know, church attendance in Britain today is at an all-time low. It is said that there are only 3% of born-again Christians in this nation. 3%. There are more missionaries come to Britain than what go out. My, what a great need there is today for the gospel to shine. What a great need for you and I to be clothed with the glory of God. But you know, that's not going to happen until we are in a right relationship with Him. It's not something that we can work up, which is what's happening in so many churches today. They seem to be trying to work it up. The Spirit of God comes down. Oh, this morning that we might know Him through His power. What God has done for you and me. And yet so often we do things our way, don't we? God has a prescribed way in which you and I have to live if we're going to see the glory of God. But you know, when we are right with Him, then it ought to reflect. The Israelites knew there was something different about Moses when he came down from the mountain, when he'd experienced the presence of the living God. John Wesley, way back, you know, where in the 1800s, John Wesley said, "Then it's not new things we need, it's a new fire." That reminds me, you know, of the William Booth hymn. It's fire we want. For fire we plead, send the fire. That's an old hymn, I'm sure you know that. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire today. Is that really what we want? Or are we, well, we're quite comfortable, really. You know, we coast along, don't we, from week to week and month to month and year to year. Yeah, we know our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we're okay. That's not enough. We need to be evangelists. God calls us to tell this glorious gospel message. How will they hear if we don't do our part in the great plan of God? Moses had a tent when the pillar of cloud came down, symbolizing God's presence with Moses. Today, this is the tent that God desires to use. Do we really spend time with him? Do we really get alone with the Word? Or are we just getting by on just the Sunday services and maybe an odd time in the week? If so, then we're missing so much, aren't we? God has so much for his people. Do we want to be involved? Oh, I trust this morning that God would light the fire again within the hearts of each one of us, that we might be a people that go out and serve him, that others might know there's a difference within us, that his glory, his characteristics might be evident in our lives today. But it's only as we inquire of him, it's only as we live out our lives in that prescribed way. I trust this morning, you know, that from God through the Holy Spirit, through his precious word, you know, that we might be challenged again to move out into the area in which we live. The people that we rub shoulders with, maybe not every day when you're here out in the countryside, but I'm sure, you know, every week we're rubbing shoulders with someone that doesn't know the Lord. May we take that opportunity to tell others of this glorious gospel message. Thankfully, the little duckling made the decision and it came out of the nest. Don't stay in the nest, but let's be out this morning in the flow of God's love, in the flow of God's blessing, and that through even these lives of ours, which God has chosen to use, we might be instruments for him, for his glory, and for the salvation of souls. May it be so, for his dear name's sake. Amen.